jerks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scatly-dee-bop, shabba-dooey. The revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hi there.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy. We're so glad you've joined us again on the love seat. How are you guys doing today? I guess that's a rhetorical question they can't answer.
We're going to assume you're doing well. This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie, and we're coming to you in HD. Isn't that right, Mike?
I suppose so. HD sound.
Yes, because we have
I don't even know what
exciting
that means.
News. Well, HD is high definition, right?
Well, I know what it stands for, but I don't have no idea what that could mean. In like, do they take more samples per second? Are the samples more accurate?
It
I don't know
means,
what HD
I'll
means.
I'll simplify it for you, Mike. It means it's better.
It means it costs more.
Well, this is our new microphone, the Blue Snowball. And for all you people out there who have your own podcasts, who don't just listen to us, but actually do your own shows, we highly recommend this microphone, at least now.
We do.
As we first...
We've now used it for almost 5 minutes.
Yes, and it's been serving us very well for the past 5 minutes.
Those memories.
Oh, yes. Anyway, we've upgraded our audio quality significantly with this microphone. We hope, anyway. So feel free to give us some feedback if you like it. If you don't like it, let us know. And hopefully...
How can they let us know?
They can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page at Forcebook.
Forcebook. Isn't Forcebook that what the government invented?
Forcebook.paketherapy. What the hell am I saying? Facebook.porktherapy.com.
Wow. Forcebook.
May the force book with you.
I think that just supports the notion that the CIA is really behind Facebook. Right, Mike? right. And if you go to twitter.porktherapy.com. Mike, this is a big fail. We should just start over. Twitter.porktherapy.com. You can follow us and get our little tweets every time we have some exciting
every
news.
Every time we feel like being twits.
Which is often.
Yes, as you can tell from this intro.
Yes. So anyway, we're glad to have you with us tonight. And we have sort of a long question tonight, so I think we'll just get right into it.
I think we should. It's a very long question. Well, at least it's a very short question asked in a very long way.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
All right, so let's get to it.
Okay. Well, here's the question from an anonymous listener. Hi, guys. I'm a male college student. Only recently have I had the courage to write to someone, anyone, about what's been on my mind regarding my sexual orientation. Writing this email will not be easy, and I hope that you guys can help put my mind at ease. And yeah, we just want to interrupt and say thank you so much for writing us this question and trusting us to give you an answer and help put your mind at ease. Hopefully we won't screw it up too badly. And
indeed.
I mean, actually make you feel better. But I think
the end of our motto is take us with a grain of salt. We'll be glad to give you our opinions, but realize they're just that.
It's true. But, you know, I when I read this question, I really felt for this guy. I mean, I really felt him and I really sympathized with what he was saying. And so hopefully we can actually help to put your mind at ease. And we really, again, appreciate your honesty and your willingness to share this question with us.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it goes. I don't know when... oh, yeah, and also...
Let me just interrupt again.
No.
We got 3 words into it. That's it. It's time for a break.
Exactly. That's right, Mike. Well, what I was going to say is that I need to sort of give our listeners a little bit of a warning.
Oh, right.
Just in case, you know, we're going to discuss this on our show in a mature manner. And, you know, we may make the occasional dirty joke on Pork Therapy, but we're really taking this seriously. And we're trying not to be too crass or vulgar or offended.
I'm not trying at all. I'm going to definitely take this seriously.
I'm trying,
but I'll be
Mike.
Crass nonetheless. But I think the warning is...
The question has some descriptions of bondage and restraint that, you know, maybe some people might feel offend them or are graphic or whatever. And so, we'll, you know, we'll discuss it in a mature way, but just be aware of that. And if you think you might be offended, then you can feel free to turn us off.
And if you don't like crass jokes, turn us off.
Yeah. And if you do like them, turn us on, right? Anyway. Okay. So here we go. Here's the question. I don't know when it first happened. This is the listener's question again. I don't know when it first happened, but ever since I was very young, about 9 years old, I have fantasized, or I have, he says fascinated, but I don't know if he meant that.
I've been fascinated.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I've been fascinated with being tied up / restrained. I don't know if it was the puzzle aspect of it, the helplessness aspect of it, or something else. All I know is that I wanted people to tie me up and that I enjoyed the struggle. Just as an aside, I think it's ironic that someone so concerned with freedom and liberty could enjoy having it taken away. And then he has a little emoticon, like a smiley face. Which
could be its own episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in the liberty movement who are into bondage.
Yeah.
So that's very curious.
Yeah. I know. You know, I thought about that exact same question before. You know, why freedom people like bondage, or why would they like bondage?
Yeah.
Because really, yeah, you're kind of voluntarily giving up your freedom or something to that effect.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But yeah, maybe.
But anyway.
We'll have to talk about that another time. Anyway. Okay. So he goes on to say, over time, my interest grew stronger, and I slowly acquired various bondage toys. I started with real police handcuffs. Where did he get those?
Real ones at age 9? No, over time. Okay.
Yeah, we don't know how old he was. But yeah, I kind of wonder where he...
No, he started with real police handcuffs, and he did say when he was 9. Interesting.
That's
very minor, but an interesting point.
Anyway, and then came the ankle cuffs. Then came the hospital bed restraints. The most recent toy I have is my most awesome straitjacket. Yes, a real institutional straitjacket. I experience an ineffable feeling when I'm tightly strapped up in it. So, okay, that's interesting.
Yes.
I wonder how he's playing with these things, if he's, you know, being safe and...
Well, we'll cover that in the question.
Yeah,
after.
I suppose so. Okay. So then he goes on, allow me to provide some background information. Starting in the middle of my 4-year high school indoctrination, yeah,
well said.
Isn't that what it is? I noticed that I kept staring at this blonde-haired kid. He was thin and muscular, played lacrosse, was in good shape, was extremely popular with the ladies, and he dressed in middle-upper-level clothes. Not preppy, but not bland either. Being an unfashionable, nerdy, arrogant, and pedantic programmer, I found myself, quote, jealous of him. I wanted to emulate him and his demeanor. I started going to the mall to buy nicer clothes from stores such as American Eagle and PacSun. I can think of two possible reasons why I wanted to emulate him. He represented everything that I wasn't. Laid back, carefree, popular, physically strong, and most important of all, happy. At least I think. I was a stuck-up, arrogant, physically weak, unpopular, and unhappy kid. Over time, and in a Freudian sort of way, I think I might have actually been attracted to him. And so
it doesn't
sound
so far out of the question.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Well, I mean, there's this issue of sometimes people confuse admiration with attraction, but we can talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a need to talk about it after more
yeah,
questions
probably
read,
not.
But let's go on.
Okay. And so, okay, he goes on. The kid had what I could best describe as a California-like attitude. He was loud and used a lot of slang. Common phrases include, Mike, you want to impersonate the kid?
This shit is whack.
And?
All right, just chillin', bro.
Very good. Then I had a conundrum. I wanted to emulate him, but at the same time, I felt that if I did, I would be a poser. I'd be fake. It just didn't feel right to speak in the manner that he did, because I articulated myself in a manner similar to Lou Rockwell or Tom Woods, whose articles I often read. This is so awesome. He actually found Lou Rockwell in high school, and he was reading it. That's so cool.
Yes.
I really wish I had found it
earlier.
I'm
glad he didn't pose. He wasn't a poser for a California dude.
Yeah, because that's kind of lame. But but no, I mean, I can see there are people that, you know, in high school may seem like really cool and stuff, but they're actually not that cool. You realize when you get older. I think Lou Rockwell's pretty cool myself. But anyway, okay. So he goes on to say, at this point, I was a senior in high school. I ditched my Nike style clothing and slowly but surely ended up dressing like he did. However, I was only superficially happy with the change. This is where the bondage toys came in. And I'm kind of wondering, did he start wearing his straitjacket to school? Or?
I doubt it, but at least that kind of clears up that he was late in high school before he got handcuffs, not 9 years old.
Yes, okay. That concerned me a little bit, but anyway. Okay. So he says, it is extremely difficult for one to put himself in a straitjacket alone. In exchange for bandwidth, a friend of mine would come over to my house, restrain me in the jacket, and then leave. My parents were at work. Wow. Okay. When I read that for the first time, I was just kind of struck by...
Well, finish this little paragraph.
Okay. Well, okay.
Or at least a sentence more.
Okay. So in exchange for bandwidth, a friend would come over and restrain him and leave, right. And his parents were at work. And then he says, I figured out how to escape from the jacket using a door handle and had become quite good at it.
So I think what you're wowing is the danger factor.
Yeah. I mean...
He no one was home. He had someone restrain him in a fashion that's institutionally... strong, right?
Sure,
the institutions use it because people can't escape.
Yeah.
And then he was left alone. And he did this by choice, and that's very dangerous.
Yeah, and...
I guess it's not exceptionally dangerous, because in his case, it's not like asphyxiation. He might have just still been bound when his parents came home.
Yeah, that's possible. And maybe that pressure helped him figure a way out of it sooner rather than later or something.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really feel like we... To be responsible, we should mention, in case anyone's listening who's interested in stuff like this,
yeah.
If you are into bondage or BDSM play or something like that, I mean, there are risks that you can take. Like, you don't want to be just tied up and left alone in case you have trouble breathing or in case, you know, there's something
right.
else
you know,
that's wrong.
When there's,
you always want to have a safe word and
exactly.
someone else around.
When there's two people involved, you have a way out. So when there's one person involved, if that's your get off, then make sure there's a safe way out.
Yes.
However, unless his parents were like out of town for a week, he was pretty safe. I mean, the worst thing that would have happened is they would have come home and he would have been outed. He wouldn't have been in physical danger.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and maybe he knew that. Maybe he
Who
knew
knows?
That it was
yeah.
actually
maybe that's his backup
somewhat
plan.
Safe. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think of when I hear this idea of, you know, people doing these somewhat dangerous BDSM things alone, I always think that, you know, maybe it's because they feel so isolated and it's almost like it's underground, like they can't tell anyone. And so they engage in these things, they don't know how to do it safely or it's kind of like drugs, like when kids are doing drugs and they're experimenting with maybe alcohol or other drugs for the first time with their friends because they don't have anyone else that they can tell about what they're doing that they can trust that's maybe a little older and knows how to do it safely.
So, and why don't they have anyone to tell?
Because
it's
illegal
upon,
and
right.
it's thought of as dangerous.
The same reason that makes it more dangerous, the black market, which is created by the government,
yeah.
is also what makes it hard to get help from.
Yes.
For. Anyway,
so that principle
that's an important point, but we should get back to the question.
Kind of applies here, but not that BDSM is illegal.
It definitely applies, but we should mention it and move on.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Mike, the authoritarian fascist.
Question's long enough without
Mike's
tangents, and we got plenty of
those. Mike's going to put me in a straitjacket if I keep rambling about tangents. Anyway.
yours would be a tangential jacket.
That's right. Oh, good one. Anyway, okay, so the question goes on. Straitjackets, real ones anyway, have a strap that goes through the crotch that prevents the wearer from pulling the jacket over their head. While restraining the jacket and having the whole house to myself, I would wiggle around on the ground, and due to how intentionally tight I pulled the crotch strap, it would rub up against my genitals. The more I would wiggle around on the ground, the more pleasure I got both mentally and physically. And then he kind of goes on to talk about, you know, what he does with the jacket, but... we'll kind of gloss over that a little bit.
We will.
Maybe the best part.
It was sexually pleasing to him.
Right,
I guess that's
exactly.
the summary. Okay, so
yes.
go on.
The erotic thoughts going through my mind consisted of how awesome it was to be restrained. No hope, no escape. But as time progressed, the more thoughts entered my head as my eyes were closed and I laid restrained on the ground. I thought about the blonde-haired kid from school. I imagined him physically pinning me, putting me in the jacket, and restraining my legs and torso to the bed. I wanted to be restrained and wanted to be overpowered, but not just by anyone. I wanted to be pinned by this particular person. I wanted to resist him, and I wanted to lose. So now he's tying in his crush on this kid with his straitjacket bondage
right.
fetish.
And if you'll just remember this sentence, I wanted to resist him and I wanted to lose in a sexual fashion.
Yeah.
I think you might find the answer to the later question.
Yeah, you know, that is actually a very telling sentence.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back to it later because I think he's attracted to this kid and he wants the kid to forcibly do things to him that he considers, you know, sexually arousing because he can't admit that he
yes.
can't overtly admit that he's attracted to him.
I agree.
Yeah. So anyway.
Because that would be the pleasure that he wants without admitting to himself.
Yes, exactly. Well, he made me do it, so it's
right.
okay if I
yeah.
feel pleasure from this. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so then he goes on to say, I became pretty much addicted to the jacket because using my hand was just so boring. I would do anything to be put in it. My friends and I would have, quote, sleepovers, as our parents knew them, but they really involved us blazing. I didn't care about the cannabis, though. I just wanted to be straitjacketed, have my ankles tied together, be put in a dark room alone, and have my way with myself. My friends granted my request, too, although they didn't know about the erotic part. For all they knew, I was the next Harry Houdini. So again, like, he's doing something that I consider probably a little more on the dangerous side, which is mixing intoxicating substances with BDSM and being left alone. And
that's a bad combo.
Yeah.
Again, it's not incredibly unsafe because apparently during a party, there's people in the other room and he's...
Yeah, so but what if they forget about him? What if he chokes or something?
Right.
Or, you know,
it's not great, but it's not the worst thing in the world in terms of safety. He could be doing it worse.
Yeah, I suppose, but I never.
Yeah, it's not
really
a good combo. Plus intoxicants.
I mean, people say that they get a natural high from being, you know, from engaging in BDSM and maybe, you know, like painful activities or whatever. But so why do you need to mix it with alcohol or drugs? You know, it just doesn't seem like it's necessary. But I don't know. Maybe this kind of loosened his inhibitions or his friend's inhibitions or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Mike wants me to get back.
This
to
is
the
a, we're not even halfway through the question yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the little scroll bar is like halfway down. To me. Anyway. Okay. During the school day, I would look at other guys and immediately size them up. If a kid looks scrawny, fat, old, hairy, or weak, I would not have any erotic thoughts about them. If they look like strong skateboarders or wrestlers in loose, semi-preppy clothing, then I would have those thoughts about them. Note. When I say skateboarders, I do not mean those pasty, tight pants wearing, frail looking emo kids. Mike, are you an emo kid? That's right. You better change.
Is he in the studio?
It appeared from an external perspective that I wanted to fight them, but internally, I wanted them to wrestle and restrain me just as I have described with the blonde haired kid. I felt that these people were best able to restrain me even if I put up a struggle. So that's why he was kind of checking them out, I guess. For various reasons, losing a fight and having it posted on YouTube, discovering cannabis, and finding the freedom message, I did not want to fight anyone. Instead, I became friends with a lot of these people, some better than others. I moved on to college not knowing a single person.
Everyone does.
That's true.
No, almost.
Well, almost. Yeah, I knew a couple of people. Anyway, I started over again, thinking about certain people who I believed had the same build and demeanor as the blonde-haired kid. He likes those surfer dudes. I eventually became mutual friends with such a person, and now I consider him to be the best friend that I've ever had. Although he knows about my toys, he doesn't know that when I self-pleasure myself, I think about him restraining me.
You gotta make the joke.
In the Department of Redundancy department?
Yeah, the self-pleasuring myself department.
Yes. Yeah, I guess how else do you say it in a
way? An eloquent question, and he's obviously got a master of the language. I just have to make fun of him for that one first.
Yes, but other than that, like, yeah. Mike and I were discussing this before, question asker. We think you're an awesome writer, and we really like your writing.
Even the structure. You summarize the question, then you break it down into history, then you get the background, then you get the question, then you repeat. It's well question.
Yeah.
Well asked.
Great communication skills, and you give us a lot of information.
Just making fun of you for that one little phrase.
Yeah, often when we get questions, we, you know, don't get a lot of information, you know.
Yeah, no shortage
and
of that
there's no
here.
Lack of it here. It's awesome.
All right.
Okay, so then he says, after he says, you know, he made friends with this kid who looks like a surfer dude, and he's very good friends. He considers him the best friend he's ever had. The guy knows about his toys, but he doesn't know that he thinks about his friend when
sexually,
he's
right.
Yeah, in a sexual way. And then, so the next part of the question goes, I am now trying to figure out if I am gay/bi or not. Mike, are you going to say something?
Well, I could end the show right here. Yes, you are.
Yes, you're
gay. But there's more questions, so we'll get back to that.
Right. Okay. I do not fit any of the gay stereotypes.
Except for the one where you like and are attracted to men.
Yes, that's right.
Being a man yourself. Yes.
Yeah, and what are the gay stereotypes? Like, I
don't know. Maybe being flamboyant, that's a pretty common one, but half of the gay community, at least, isn't.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I think there are gay people of all kinds. I mean, and straight people of all kinds, too.
That's true.
You know, there are flamboyant straight people. Just look at Mike. He likes to paint his
fingernails. That's right, I do.
Oh, we're just kidding. No, but, I mean, stereotypes are only, I don't know, they're
statistical,
limited usefulness.
That's all, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they're not even statistical, but anyway. Okay. So no one can look at me and call me gay. This is what he says. Moreover, when I have these erotic thoughts, I do not think about male genitalia at all. I am slightly concerned because I've never had a girlfriend and I still have my virginity at age 19. It seems to me like every single other person my age, especially at college, is an experienced sex addict. I could be having a conversation with friends, and they'll stop listening to me when they see a girl's breasts and ass. It is frustrating.
Let me comment on that. It might be hormonal, because when you're a male at 18-ish, you're in your sexual peak, right? They
supposedly
might actually be that distracted and that shallow-minded, maybe. But it might also just be the cultural cool thing to do, is to always talk about sex. Look at movies, look at TV shows.
Sure, yeah.
Look at websites, look at, you know, media that sells.
And he says it's frustrating when, you know, he's talking to other guys and they stop to stare at girls. Well, that's frustrating for the girls, too. We don't like creepy guys just staring. Anyway.
Do you like non-creepy guys staring?
Depends.
Because as soon as they stare, they're creepy.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a mutually exclusive.
Anyway, I agree it's frustrating, especially if it's not not what you're into.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like everyone, you know, if everyone were attracted to, like, llamas or something, and then, you know, there were llamas walking around campus, and everyone stopped. Oh, look at that grape.
Right, or not even just attraction.
Why did I use that example? That wasn't
llamas
very,
and
yeah.
grape?
No, I said great.
Oh, that works. I think it would be frustrating if anybody interrupted.
I'm catching the bad examples from
Those are good examples. Yeah. All right, go on.
No, what were you saying?
No, I'm done.
I interrupted you. Okay. And so then he says, speaking of which, when I see a, quote, good-looking girl as deemed by culture, I do not get turned on. The only reason I ever look at a girl's chest, for example, is to read the text on her t-shirt. I never watch porn, but I see naked women in advertisements on torrent sites, and I'm not turned on at all. One time, I was driving my parents to a party in a nearby town so that they could safely get drunk together. A couple my age was walking down the street, and my dad saw me noticeably turn my head to look. He made a comment about how good-looking that girl was, and said that I had good taste. I just said, yeah, and did a mental sigh, because I was actually sizing up the guy, as I have described earlier. The girl never even crossed my mind. Yeah, so basically, those last couple of paragraphs are illustrating that he has...
You're attracted
to guys
for whatever reason, and you're
not attracted to women at all.
You're gay. So move on.
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely that he's even bi, but... Yeah. Okay. So then he says, in another instance, my dad did a mental sigh to himself when he helped me move out of my dorm room for the summer and saw that the box of condoms my mom got me was unopened. I'm not opposed to women, but I just don't get excited about them either. I'm not shy at all because I'm very confident and I'm able to talk to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. I even have some female platonic relationships, but when it comes to flirting with a girl, I clam up. I just feel so awkward because flirting with a girl makes me feel fake, as if I shouldn't be doing it because it's not who I am. Well, it's not
Dude,
who you are.
Yeah, you know, you've answered your own question like 5 times so far.
Which is great. I mean, maybe we should have waited till the end for the big reveal, but I think everyone who's hearing this it's pretty obvious to them. I mean, you know, okay, and anyway.
Maybe he's Spider-Man. You know, in the first Spider-Man movie, his Aunt May says, would it be so dangerous if everyone knew you loved her? Or, like, something like that. Like, yeah. Everyone already knows except you. Something like that.
Yes, isn't it true? And then he goes on to say, I hate when people talk to me about how hot/sexy a girl is and how they would like to fuck them 6 ways from Sunday.
6 ways? I gotta need lessons.
Yeah, why is that the expression? think about the emotional disconnection that exists between regular and autistic people. They just can't relate to you on an emotional level. In the same way, I can't empathize with the people who get all worked up over a girl. Considering that most of the male population on this planet does get sexually worked up over this female beauty, I feel different than everyone else, and my mind is not at ease because of this. I can, however, relate to attraction in general because I feel like I'm attracted to my best friend. I love doing things with him. I love talking to him in class. I love studying for exams with him. I feel emotionally complete with him. Is this a homosexual attraction?
Yes.
Yes. Or am I merely overwhelmed with the feeling of having a strong mutual friendship, considering that I had none in high school?
No.
Thanks, Mike. The fact that I fantasize about him putting me in the straitjacket when self-pleasuring leads me to believe that it is the former.
Good clue.
The former being a homosexual attraction. And I agree, yeah. I agree with Mike. Mike's just like robotically interjecting. It's so awesome. It is this confusion that gives me stress.
Oh, no, I don't understand that, because what's the confusion?
Well,
how is he possibly confused when he's answering his own questions again and again and again?
Well, I get the confusion.
He's afraid of the answer, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps that's it. But I think the confusion comes from the fact that throughout his whole life, you know, from his parents, from everyone around teachers him, from his peers and teachers
in, public, in government school
and everyone, and maybe
probably
even
religion,
if he was religious, and then maybe even
absolutely
his church,
there
he's getting these signals. Some are subtle and some are overt that he should be attracted to women and he should be straight, and he's not attracted to women. He's actually attracted to men. So I could see how that could be confusing.
Yeah, that could be confusing.
Everyone's telling him he's supposed to like one thing and then he likes another thing.
Yeah, I agree that can be confusing, but if he's asking, am I gay? And he is.
Yes.
Why?
He is asking that, or why, he's gay?
No, he's asking that.
Right.
And he's
gay.
Right. But he's asking that. Why is he confused? Because he's also said, I'm attracted to men, not women. 5 or 6 times. He
yes.
said, I love my best friend more than a friend. Should I?
Well, he says he loves doing things with his friend, but I think he was using
he
that
used
language.
The word love how many times?
3 times.
Just 3? Okay.
But he never actually said, I love my friend, but
that's
I think...
That's true.
I think
did he say, I feel emotionally complete with him?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he did say that.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that
he
sounds like love
He knows the
to
answer.
Me.
I don't understand that particular confusion. I
well,
think,
he doesn't know the answer, or else he wouldn't be asking us, I guess. I mean,
maybe he wants the answer to be all right. Acceptable.
Oh,
I don't know.
Hell yes, it's totally acceptable. We're proud of you. We're good.
Yeah. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being gay
oh, no
or
way.
Bi
this
or
is
hetero.
Awesome.
It's just who you are, and if you're yeah. asking, who am I? That's who you are.
Right. And at some, if that's who you are, then that's cool. And at some point, you're going to realize that, and maybe it'll be confusing because that's not the cultural norm, or that's not what maybe your family or your friends are assuming or telling you that you should be like. But hey, that's who you are, and the sooner you realize that, the better. I think, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The happier you'll be.
Yeah, the
less
you'll
stressed
be.
By confusion you'll be.
Yes.
Well, here we are okay, almost a half an hour into the show, and we're almost to the end of the question.
So the last part of his question says, what should I do? For the most part, I'm pretty happy, but this sexual confusion upsets me. All I can say is one thing.
This shit is whack.
Very good, Mike.
Not only did he re-summarize and repeat the question, but he did a callback for humor. That's just
yeah,
brilliant.
That's awesome.
Well
yeah,
written.
He's, not only are you gay, but you're a really good fucking yeah. writer. We really like it. Anyway, so
great question. Thanks for
great question.
Yeah, great yes. answers too. Thanks for answering.
Exactly, question asker. You didn't need us to tell you this.
Well, actually,
you're gay.
Yeah. The question, the summary question he asked in the beginning was, "Am I gay?
Yep.
Or bi?" And then somewhere in the middle, he kind of asked that in a statement. Mm-hmm. So the answer to those is
I'm
yes.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm gay.
Yeah, yes,
yeah.
you are.
Yes.
And then now he changes the question to what should I do? Well, yeah. what should you do about what? Should you,
yeah, what does that
should
mean?
You come out to your parents, to your friend?
Should
you
come
on to
his
your friend?
Friend? Yeah,
should
the friend
you,
that he likes.
Should you date men? What do you mean, what should I do?
Yeah. I mean, actually, the question was extremely clear up to that point. But
right.
maybe he doesn't know like what he should even ask because he's so confused about this thing. You know, he needs to get to the point where he can say, yes, I'm gay, or no, I'm not gay, which, yes, you're gay. And before he figures out what he should, like, the next questions he should ask, right? You think that might be the
case? I think
case?
That might be it. Yeah. But also, I think maybe more specifically in this last question, he says, the sexual confusion upsets me. What should I do? So maybe, what should I do to get rid of the sexual confusion?
Yeah.
I would think, first of all, own that you're gay.
Yeah.
And then second of all, in my personal opinion, come out. Don't
oh, yeah.
hide it. Don't
oh, yeah.
don't own it, but hide it. Come out. Tell everyone and let them, you know, if you're going to lose your best friend over it, goodbye. You'll get another best friend.
Yes.
Especially since you're only 19.
This guy has so much to gain from coming out. And
yeah.
We can explain what he has to gain. One, he won't
confidence.
Be living a lie.
Happiness.
Right. Happiness.
Truth.
He's going to meet people that he would have never had the opportunity to meet
right.
had he stayed in the closet.
That particular value, sexual orientation or whatever,
yep.
you won't meet people with similar values if you don't express them or own them. So you
absolutely.
Have to come out to meet people with that particular similar value.
Right. Like if we didn't walk around, you know, wearing Pork Fest t-shirts and telling everyone that we're libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists, or, you know, we wouldn't be part of the Free State Project.
Right.
We wouldn't be, you know, we'd be living somewhere else and feel really isolated and not have any friends who shared that value. And so, yeah, you got to come out and
yeah.
you got to be honest with everybody.
I think overall, and especially in the long run, you'll be happier coming out.
Yeah.
However, you might experience pain doing so in the short run.
Sure, there might be some people who are bigoted or intolerant or don't like the fact that
and
you're gay.
Some of those might be important to you. Like, most people would consider their family important to them. Sure. And most people... No, some people's families might not accept it.
Right.
To me, that's irrelevant. We'll go listen to a previous episode for that. But if that's important to you, like your dad and your mom, you drove them to a party so they could drink responsibly, maybe you guys are close. And maybe they're going to be intolerant towards a gay son. I don't know. And that might be something to weigh. However... Do you want them to be happy, or do you want to be happy?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a point about that, a lot of people are apprehensive when they realize that they're gay. They say, well, should I come out to my parents or not? Well, for a lot of people, on some level, their parents already know.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, some people come out to their parents and say, and the parents say, oh, congratulations, thanks for telling me. I've always known since you were 5 years old.
You know? your dad sighed when he saw that you didn't use the condoms your mom gave you. Your mom gave you condoms. She's hoping you'll be screwing women. Or actually, that's not true. Maybe you could use condoms for gay sex as well.
It doesn't sound like the parents.
But I was trying to use that as an example of maybe they already know you're gay and they're hoping not, or they're hoping college will change you or something.
Yeah.
And even if they don't already know, you know in quotes.
Right.
Maybe they or other people you care for will surprise you and not care that you're gay. You know, they like you for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you ever want, if you want to have a relationship with somebody who's a dude and down the line, and hopefully you do, if you're admitting to yourself that you're gay, you know, maybe you want your parents to meet that person, and so you're going to have to let them know at some point.
Good point.
You don't want to be having your boyfriend, love. You know, bring him over to your parents' house or whatever, and then you know your parents are thinking you're just having a sleepover and doing escape artist tricks. You want to be, you want them to know that
we're just practicing a magic act, Mom. Yeah.
Well, actually, that brings up another point, which is that I don't think his parents ever need to know about the bondage toys. Never, never, never. They have no reason to need to know that.
They don't have a need, but depending on his closeness with them, maybe he'll talk about it. Hell, maybe they already know that and not know that it's sexual. I don't know.
I don't think parents ever need to know anything about your sex life beyond the fact that maybe you're attracted to people of a certain gender and you have one. Yeah. Right.
That could be.
I guess, you know, if you're a woman and you get pregnant, your parents are going to know that you had sex, right? It's not the Immaculate Conception in the same way.
I know someone who claims it is. Oh. She's joking.
Wow. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. If you're going to ignore your long-term happiness, at least look at your long-term pragmatic lifestyle.
Sure.
If you want to love men, how are you going to hide it?
Yeah.
Not that you should, but how are you going to?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not, living Three's Company?
At some point, your parents are going to expect you to come home with a woman, and you're not going to be able to do that because you're not attracted to women.
I guess, isn't there a movie like where a guy brings home, like rents a date to pretend
I'm sure
he's not gay?
Yeah,
so maybe you can make a movie about that, but it's not a happy life to live when you're just not who you are.
Not healthy in real life.
Think of how many other avenues, especially towards liberty, that you could put your intelligence towards if you weren't focused on this problem of, is it okay that I'm gay? That's really the question.
Sure. that's true. I mean, yeah, take the time to sort it out. And like, there are lots of resources that you can go to. Like, for instance, if you're worried about your parents, and they're you know, wondering what to do when you come out to them, you can refer them to PFLAG, which is Parents and Families of Lesbians and Gays, and it's a website and a book, and you know, you can give them those resources to help them deal with your coming out if that's something that is going to bother them or they're going to have questions about. And you know, there are lots of I guarantee you, you're not the only gay guy on your campus. You're not the only one who identifies as a virgin on your campus, which is something else we should talk about.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one into bondage on your campus. And so you're going to meet people.
You may be the only one that good with a straitjacket, but only on your campus, not in the world. But
there is still
you're
Harry Houdini.
Yeah. In fact, I'd like to see that trick. Not the sexual part, but I'd like you to I'd like to see you, if you could do it without masturbating, I'd like to see you get out of a straitjacket sometime.
Yeah, that might be a useful activism tool, actually. You know, like when you get arrested and they put you in a straitjacket or handcuffs or something. Well, this guy can escape, so
that's right.
He doesn't mind doing civil disobedience because he can just get it right out of it. But anyway, so another thing I wanted to say about coming out, Mike. How would you tell someone that you were gay if you were gay? Which you're not. You're straight. But
well, yeah, that's it. I just got to make a.
Mostly straight,
comedic comment about that, or what I think is humorous comment. whoever comes out about being hetero?
That's true.
How sad is that? That we don't have to. That's just a sad thing about our culture. How
do you come out about, Mike, do you consider yourself, well, maybe this is a separate episode, but do you consider yourself polyamorous?
Yeah.
Okay, so have you come out to anyone about that?
Maybe that's a good way to think about this question, because, yeah, I mean, I don't really talk to my parents much anymore, or really my family at all.
Sure.
But I did happen to mention it one of the most recent times I talked to them, and I just said, I'm poly. I love many people. Look it up.
Look it up. Wow.
Well, you don't want to.
Mike, that's so caring and so supportive.
No, that's why, because I don't talk to them much. I don't have much in common with my family. But I'm trying to think of someone who I care about more who didn't already know who I would have told. And I don't think there is anyone. I mean, why would everyone I know, everyone who knows me, already know that I'm poly if I didn't tell them? So I must have told them.
Or they just saw you with two girlfriends or something.
I don't
figured
know.
It out. But anyway, so the point that I was trying to make was that I think how you deliver that news impacts how the other person takes it. And so when you tell someone something like, hey, I'm gay or I'm kinky, who, if you're telling your boyfriend or your lover or whatever, if you tell someone something about your sexuality, you want to make it put a positive spin on it. Like, you don't tell them as if you're telling them you have chicken pox.
Or cancer.
Yeah. You don't tell them, hey, sit down. I want to tell you
something
really serious news.
Yeah.
I'm gay. You don't say it like that. You say, hey, guess what? I'm gay.
That's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you have to make a thing about it either. Couldn't you just...
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, you don't have to make it a huge deal.
Yeah.
Or you could come out in a way like, you know, maybe you show up to an event with a guy as your date, or maybe you
right, or even
you
just
put it on your Facebook, or just, I don't recommend
whomever,
that. But.
Yeah, well, that's a yes. Yeah, so let's drop the Facebook suggestion.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
But maybe the person you're trying to come out to, maybe just tell them, like when you're watching a movie or a TV show together or looking through a magazine, say that guy's hot.
Yeah,
man, I'd do him, or I wish I could date him, or however your normal parlance is.
Sure.
Just start doing it with men so that they know that you're attracted to men.
Sure.
If you don't want to directly tell them.
Yeah. And how about this? Would you recommend, because I know there are some people who maybe want to be out to like their friends or at their college or in their normal life, but not to someone like their parents, for instance. Would you recommend that?
No, but if you want to do that, it's probably not too hard in the short run because you don't live with your parents anymore.
Sure.
But in the long run, it's
but
not
yeah,
going
to
be possible.
You still have to lie to them if
yeah.
you have any kind of relationship with them at
yeah,
all.
It's
so
not good.
I don't know.
You know, another thought occurred to me in terms
like
of coming out, maybe especially to those people who interrupt you and to look at some girl's tits and say, I'd fuck her six ways from Sunday or whatever. Maybe right there is your opportunity. Maybe to say,
I don't care about that girl's tits because
yeah.
I like guys.
Yeah, or say, yeah, that guy next door is really hot. I'd do him at the same time. We could rent rooms together. Or really,
yeah, make a joke out of
it. What's so attractive for, you know, about her? I'm attracted to guys. What do you find attractive about her? However you want to say it, that could be a good opportunity to interject some gay comment or some comment that reveals that you're not interested in women.
Yeah, you know, actually, in fact, I remember an instance in my own life when something like that happened to me. I had a friend who... the friend was a male, and the friend and I were hanging out in his dorm room, and he had a roommate, and his roommate was gay, but at the time we didn't know it. And so, I don't know, we were talking about something, and the subject of, for lack of a better word, vaginas came up.
For lack of a more vulgar word.
Really, what better word is there? Because, I mean, it's anatomically correct. So the roommate goes, I don't know, we were talking something vaginal, and the roommate says, ew, vaginas are icky. And so
that's a giveaway.
We're like, oh, really? Like, are you gay or something? And he goes, yeah, I'm gay.
So,
and that was the first time that we both knew. So, hey, that was cool. We totally,
yeah.
It was no big deal.
And then you move on with life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it's
a great
opportunity.
I would probably
big deal.
Have said it differently, but that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I guess good a time as any. Now is as good a time as any to start living your life. And, you know, when you come out, I think that'll be the beginning of a whole new direction.
You know, one more thought occurred to me. I'm thinking, I don't know what movie it was, but I'm remembering a scene in a movie where a gay person, I don't remember if it was a guy or girl, a gay person comes home to their parents with a date of the same gender for the first time.
Yep.
And that's how the parents find out. And that's, in my opinion, really dramatic.
Yeah,
so
I don't
that
like
might
that.
Be overkill.
Yeah, in fact, I've even heard of people who like their sibling has a wedding, mm-hmm. and then they bring,
right.
they come out to their parents at the wedding by bringing a date of the same sex. That's kind of like
tacky. It's rude actually, because they're already so much stress and so much other focus that's important to the other person.
And you're drawing attention to yourself when it's not supposed to be about you, I guess.
But even if you just, I don't know if you want to, you don't want to, I don't think you'd want to enhance the surprise factor.
Sure.
I think you just want to play it like this is an everyday thing in life.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm gay. You don't want to drum up the drama and say, I'm bringing someone home on Friday and I'm not telling you who. And,
exactly.
And then poof, it's the same gender and surprise, what do you think?
It's like any other thing about yourself. Hey, I like math. Hey, I'm going to major in biology or whatever. You
right.
know? Like,
hey, I'm so instead of I'm bringing someone Friday and you'll see who then, just say, I have a date Friday. His name's John.
Yeah, sure. And then maybe that'll open up further discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. So what about his friend? What should he do about the friend that he's attracted to?
I would say, it seems to me, if you're emotionally complete with him and you're incredibly close and you...
And physically attracted to
him. Well, but I'm getting to that.
Yeah.
If you talk about everything and if he's really a good friend, I would say you're not going to lose him by telling him. He might be freaked out and need a little distance for time. Well, wait, are we talking about being gay or being attracted to him?
Well, see, I didn't really specify that, but I think that he should probably come out to the friend as part of his coming out process and see how the friend reacts. And if the friend totally freaks out...
You know you're not going to come on to him.
Yeah, or there's another possibility there that he might be freaking out because he's gay too and he doesn't want to admit it to himself. But, you know, call me an optimist, but...
You're an optimist.
Okay. So are you, Mike. But I think that there is... a decent chance that, you know, this friend, you know, if you say you feel emotionally complete with him, that's a two-way street. You know, it's not going to be a one-way, like, exchange of values and emotions and friendship and common interests. I mean, I think there's a good chance that this friend is also gay and also attracted to you, too. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know about a good
Maybe
chance.
I'm reading into it too
it's
much.
It's possible,
but
surely.
Only you know that answer. You can answer that better than us, but...
I would say you should come out to your friend.
It's definitely a distinct possibility.
As a matter of fact, you should come out to your friend because if you know you're gay, and you do, you're living a lie to him. You're not being honest with your best friend.
True, yeah.
And then, separately from that, should you come on to your friend because you're really attracted to him? I don't know what to say.
Sure.
Maybe... There is a risk you will lose your friend over it. I don't know how he'll handle it. So.
What if the friend is also into bondage and he's a top?
Wow. See, look what you have to win.
Yeah, exactly. How amazing would that be if you actually told your friend and he said, wow, well, that's a coincidence because I have been having those feelings about you too. And then you have a great time.
Why do you
time.
Think I've been tying you up this whole time?
Well, that friend doesn't tie him up. He just knows about the toys.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. But anyway, I mean, you really... it's what's worse, you know, living a lie and sort of pining after your friend and not being able to tell him how you feel about him.
In fact, not even being able to share how you feel to anyone.
To anyone, yeah. I mean, this is why he feels so stressed out, I think, is that he just cannot tell this to anyone.
Yeah.
And like we said, question asker, we're really glad that you chose us to tell this to.
Thank you.
And now we're telling you to go pass that forward and come out to everyone else and
tell people
live
you
a happy
care
life
about.
And be healthy and happy and have great relationships.
Be prepared for a rough ride, but in the long run, you're going to be happier because you're going to be who you are and not faking it.
Absolutely.
And the friends that you either maintain or newly get or make will be the stronger for it, the better for it.
Yes.
Because they'll know you.
Another thing, Mike, we're in New Hampshire, and we moved here as part of the Free State Project, right?
Yes.
We don't know this person, or at least I don't know this person, and I don't know where he lives, but he's a liberty activist, and there might be a decent chance that he's either a member of the Free State Project, or he's, you know, planning on moving, or, you know, something like that, or he's already in New Hampshire, and there are quite a few gay, anarchists, libertarians, voluntarists, whatever you want to call them, in New Hampshire, aren't there?
There are.
And if you're looking for someone who is...
They would have a lot of other common interests.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that might be a possibility. If you want to come here and visit on a Liberty Forum or a Pork Fest or any random weekend of the year.
Absolutely.
We could introduce you to some.
Yes, and they're out and they're proud and they're having
and they're
a great
happy.
Time. And I'm sure that if you, you know, decided to come out and you wanted to be like some public about it, I'm sure that they could share their experiences with you as someone who's a member of two of these sort of minority communities, like it being gay and being a liberty activist. And I'm sure you'd find a lot of common ground.
I do. Thank you for asking us this question. And thank you everyone so else for listening to
Good
it.
Good luck. You're going to do awesome. Yeah. We hope you, hope this advice made you feel better. Although Mike says it's just opinion, it's not advice. And I
hope
guess
her advice and my opinion made you feel better.
I'll give opinion too. we're really glad you came to us with this question and good luck. And we hope to see you here in New Hampshire at Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party.
That's right. Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party. That's how open and proud some people are.
Exactly. And it even makes some people act gay who are normally straight. 364 days out of the year, they're actually straight. But then that one day a year for 2 or 3 hours, they kick back with to gay. And they...
to gay. Who? Who are you referring to?
Well, now that there's
Sally?
Only one. Oh, Sally made an appearance this year. That's true.
Sally the pirate.
Anyway, listener, what we're saying is that there are probably a lot of opportunities in New Hampshire and where you're living. And be safe, be happy, be healthy, and we'll see you next time. And if you want to ask us a question of your own, if you're wondering about your sexual orientation or anything else, you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
And if you have an answer for your own question, you can call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right. And...
Where else can they find us? You can find us on our website at porktherapy.com.
Thanks, Mike.
You can listen to all our past episodes.
You picked that up so gracefully. I really liked it.
You can...
And you can go to failbook.porktherapy.com.
Yeah, facebook.porktherapy.com to what?
For endless amusement and joy.
Friend us or like us or what does Facebook call it now?
Follow. I believe lick is the appropriate
lick
term.
Us.
Yes. And twitter.porktherapy.com if you want to follow our tweets.
Yeah, and hear announcements when we put out new shows.
That's right. And if you want to, I was going to say, normally we solicit dates from women for Mike. But given the theme of this episode, the homosexual theme, let's just say if you're a guy and you have a straight jacket, you should email Mike at porktherapy.com.
Yikes.
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't
know. And if you're a dom, email Stephanie at porktherapy.com.
Only if you're a lady. This is
yeah,
a
that's
gay
right.
episode,
it's a
okay?
Gay day at Pork Therapy.
We're totally kidding about both of those. Anyway, anything we say on Pork Therapy, you have to basically assume that it's a joke.
Take with a grain of salt.
Yes. Because I think there are some people who actually take some of these things seriously and
say,
then they think that we're really
wouldn't it be weird if
strange.
Someone couldn't differentiate when we were being serious from when we were kidding?
Yes. And in fact,
if that's
that actually
you,
happened.
Send us a question. Really?
Yes.
Yikes.
You don't remember that? Okay. Anyway, we got to go. We'll see you later. Thanks,
thanks
for the
for
question
listening.
And, have a great night.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. You can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.